Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. This is one of those texts that we have to see with the eyes of our mind. It's difficult to teach it, and even more difficult to understand it. But nevertheless, it falls in God's Word, so we'll attempt to do both, to teach it and to understand it. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 12 through verse 14. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. And may God bless to our hearing the reading of His Word. Romans chapter 5. All of us are sinners before God, not because we sin, but we sin. We are born into the world sinners. We sin because we're sinners. We come into the world born physically alive, but spiritually separated from God, and we need a Savior. And this is what this is all about here, beginning in verse 12 of Romans chapter 5. Before we look at that first little word, therefore, let's bow together for prayer. Father, would you open our mind to receive your word this morning, and I pray that God the Holy Spirit becomes our great teacher, that He teaches our human spirits, those human spirits in this room that have been made alive because of our faith in Jesus Christ. We know that we were once dead in sins, but that you have made us alive by giving us the faith to place in Jesus Christ and to make us alive before you. We are living now human beings. But Father, help us to be conscious that we're surrounded by people who are not alive. They're physically alive, but spiritually dead and in need of a Savior. So help us to be consciously aware of that and to give the gospel, to preach the word, to bring people to faith in Christ. And Father, to that end, I pray today. In Jesus' name, amen. Therefore, Paul says, and what he's saying is that we have joy, deep, abiding joy. Tremendous peace in our soul because we're justified by faith in Christ alone. And that's the source of great joy. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to God's mercy that we're saved. And we're saved by faith alone in Christ alone. So that becomes a source of great, deep, abiding joy for us. And secondly, we have joy because we are in Christ. Remember, it's in Christ that all are made alive. We are in Him. And He continues to save us because He becomes that intercessor to God on our behalf. And that's the reason for our eternal security. He continues to be our intercessor throughout our lives and the lives of those who know Christ. All of this is a source of great joy. And then Paul launches back hundreds and hundreds of years ago. He goes back to the beginning and he begins to explain to us why we have this joy. And he says, therefore, that's what that therefore is all about, just as through one man. This one man is Adam the first. Now there are two Adams, remember. There's Adam the first, and we're connected to him, we're going to see in just a moment. But there's also Adam the last, Jesus Christ. So really there's two Adams. And they're both progenitors. That means they're the father of a whole civilization of people. And remember that Adam the first was created first in order. That is, he was the first human being that God created. And he was taken from the soil. So Adam the first became the representative head of the whole human race. We become responsible to God through Adam the first. He is our representative head of the entire human race. But the woman was taken from the man, from Adam. Remember, the woman was made from him. So she becomes responsible to God through the instrumentality of the man. She worships God through him. And if the woman is not submissive to her husband, then that is an indicator she is not submissive to God. That's important to understand. If we believe that they were our first parents, if we believe that we can trace our genealogy all the way back to the garden, if we believe that, then we're connected to him. We're connected to Adam and Eve. They're our DNA, the building blocks, the genetic building blocks for every person in this room started in him. We were in him genetically. So the entire human race was in Adam. He was solely responsible to God for the human race, and we were in him. And then it says here, sin entered the world. That is, just as through one man, sin entered the world. Sin did not enter the universe through Adam. Sin entered the world through Adam. Sin entered the universe through the original sinner. Hold your place there with one finger in Romans 5 and flip over to Ezekiel 28. Look in verse 15. This is speaking of Lucifer, the son of the morning. We call him Satan or the devil. God is speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. You were perfect, speaking of Lucifer, you were perfect in your ways, now notice this little word, until iniquity was found to be in you. That little word, until, is a time word. There was no sin in the entire universe until sin entered into the universe through Lucifer. Until iniquity, rebellion, transgression was found in you. Is there a place in the Bible where this transgression is identified, where we can understand what the rebellion was? Yeah, look over in Isaiah 14 just a second, just briefly. Here's the original sin that came into the universe. And here's the original sinner. The original sinner was Satan, Lucifer, son of the morning, and the original sin was right here. In Isaiah chapter 14, look in verse 12. We read, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations?" Now look in verse 13. Here it is. "For you have said in your heart," now that's this until iniquity was found in you. Here it is. "You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God." Now that is pride. That is arrogance. So that's the original sin. The original sin is pride. The original sinner is Lucifer. And that's when sin came into the universe. But that's not when sin came into the world. Sin came into the world by, look in Romans chapter 5. Therefore, as by one man, here it is, sin entered the world. So now sin came from this beginning sinner and the beginning sin down into the world through Adam. 1 John 3:8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." And the beginning was back, we talked about it, Ezekiel 28, verse 15, and Isaiah chapter 14. Continuing in chapter 5 of Romans, sin entered the world. Now notice what followed sin. And death through sin. Death follows sin. What's the wages of sin? Death. Remember God told Adam, talked about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, "For in the day that you eat of it, dying you shall most positively die." That's the first time death is mentioned in the Bible. But death means separation. Death does not mean the end in the Bible. Death does not mean that we cease to be. Death means separation. "In the day you eat of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying you will most positively die," the Hebrew says. And we know the situation. We know that Eve sinned and she gave to her husband and he ate of the fruit and they died. But listen, they didn't fall over dead. Adam didn't die for hundreds of years later did he die physically. But he did die. He died spiritually. This is something we need to understand. When God created Adam and Eve, he breathed into them the breath of lives, plural. Nefesh Chayim, the Hebrew says. He breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and Adam became a living spirit. This is what differentiated man from animals. He created the animals, nefesh kaya. He gave them a soul, but he didn't give them a human spirit. This is how they were created in the likeness of God. Nefesh kayim. So when Adam woke up, he was physically alive and spiritually alive. He had a spiritual nature. He had a living human spirit. So when he took of the fruit, and he was given the fruit by Eve, he ate and he died spiritually. It was that living spirit that connected him to God. His living soul connected him to the earth. But it was the spirit that died. It says here, "And death through sin." When he sinned, that's transgression, that's rebellion. When he chose to disobey God, death followed sin. He died. Again, he didn't fall over dead physically. We don't read that in the text. He died spiritually. He was separated from God. With his mind, he no longer knew God. And with his will, he could no longer choose fellowship with God. That's important to understand. He died spiritually. And then it says here in Romans, "And thus, and so, death spread to all men." Wait a minute now. How is that possible? Well, remember, we were connected to Adam the first. Our DNA was in him. So when he died, we died. And death spread to all men. And then it says here, "And because all sinned," that is, all sinned in Adam. When he died, when he sinned and died, we were in him genetically. Look back in Hebrews chapter 7 just briefly, and let's find out another incident where someone was genetically in someone else and was identified with them genetically. This is the story of Melchizedek. Look up here just a minute. I'll try to explain this. When Abraham met Melchizedek back in the Old Testament, we know that story. It's an amazing thing. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And that's not the way it's supposed to have been. He was showing submission to the Melchizedekian priesthood. But remember, Abraham was to become the father of all the Levites. The Levitical priesthood was in Abraham at that time. You say, how is that possible? Genetically, they were in him. He was their great-great-great-great-great-great ancestor. So in reality, the Levitical priesthood in him paid tithes. Just look in verses 9 and 10. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now notice in verse 10, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. That is, Levi was still in the genetic makeup of Abraham. He was still in his loins, genetically. Couldn't see them, they hadn't been born yet, but they were in there. It's like your great-great ancestor died in the Civil War, there having no children, where would you be? I'd be preaching to an empty auditorium. You wouldn't be here. Even though you were genetically in him, you were going to be years later. The DNA was in him that produced you. But it died when he died. So you wouldn't be here. You died physically in him. Likewise, when Adam sinned against God centuries ago, we sinned and died in him. So we come into the world then, born physically alive, but we have his imprint stamped on our soul. We are spiritually dead. And if we had a human father, we're physically alive but spiritually dead. We're connected with that human father. We're connected many generations back to old Adam. And some of you have had children that you know they're connected to Adam. It didn't take long to figure out that little Charlie had a streak in him that his great-great-great-grandfather gave to him. He didn't teach him how to do all that stuff. It was in his carburetor, wasn't it? It was built into that little boy. And those children in the crib, they know how to throw their bottle. If they don't get their way, boom, boy, they throw it. They know how to hold their breath, right? That's right. Just get on the floor and stomp and kick. You didn't teach them how to do that. It's in their carburetor. It comes from Adam the first. They're connected to him. We're all connected to him. So we come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. In Adam, all die. You say, I don't like that. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. Why should I be penalized for something I didn't do? I wasn't there. I wouldn't have eaten of that fruit. I'd have said, no way. Listen, I pray you like this imputation. Because if you don't like this imputation, then you're not going to like the next one. And I mean by the next one, for as in Adam we're going to see all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Because all sinned, that is, all sinned in Adam. Now look in verse 13. For until the law, sin was in the world. Moses didn't come on the scene for centuries after Adam sinned. Centuries later, Moses came on the scene and God gave the law through Moses. But we had a lot of years between Adam and Moses. It says here in verse 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but let's read the rest of it, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. It was not taken into account. Romans 4, verse 15. For the law brings about wrath. But where there is no law, there also is no transgression. I'm a hunter, and I enjoy hunting, and I like to go out into the woods, and sometimes I go places where I don't really know where I am. And sometimes I may go over on somebody else's land. If I do that without permission, I'm breaking the what? The law. But I don't really know I'm breaking the law. I don't really know I've transgressed anybody's land because there's no sign there. But somebody comes along and hangs up a sign, no trespassing. Because if you trespass, you're going to be transgressing the law. And you're going to be in rebellion against the law. And there's condemnation. But for centuries, there was no law. Adam started the whole thing, but there was no law to reveal sin as a transgression against God. That's what the law did. The law given by Moses revealed sin and rebellion as a transgression against God. That's important to understand. This does not mean that sin did not exist, and even that death did not exist. Adam was given a direct command of God, don't eat. If you eat, you will die. And the human race began to die. And everyone was born physically alive and spiritually dead, but nobody understood why outside of a grave marker. You walk through a graveyard before Moses, you'd understand that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The proof positive was all around you. Grave markers. Men died. They died physically, they died spiritually. But God in mercy gave the law. The law is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. The law reveals I'm a sinner. And the law does even better, it points me to a Savior. The law gives me an understanding that I have transgressed God. I've broken His law. And I need a Savior, and it points me to a Savior. But notice it says here, nevertheless, verse 14, sin was not imputed where there was no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. From Adam to Moses, no law, yet death reigned. And then it says, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Even though people who died shortly after Adam, they died because they were connected to Adam. But God didn't give all those people, God didn't say to all those people, listen, don't eat of the fruit or you'll die. He did to Adam, but He didn't to them, but they all what? Died. They kept dying through centuries, dying. And all of a sudden, God, through Moses, gave the law, which reveals sin as a transgression against God. Now, therefore, sin is imputed. It's taken into account. God had to open to the mind of those before Moses that they had rebelled against Him and they needed a Savior. But then God, through Moses, gave the law. And the law is not a bad thing, it's a good thing. It tells me I'm spiritually dead. It tells me I need a Savior so I can run to the cross where there's salvation. Had you rather the law reveal your transgression or death? I'll take the law and let the law point me to Christ. Nevertheless, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of Him who was to come. Now here is the talking about the last Adam. Adam the first was a type. Now what is a type? A type is an imprint. If you take a hammer and you hit the nail, and you miss the nail, like I do often, you make an imprint in the sheetrock. Well, people coming along, they see that imprint in the sheetrock. If you're pretty wise, if you're a carpenter of sorts, you realize there's been a hammer here, and there's been a wild someone who missed the nail. But there's been a hammer. If there's the imprint, there's the hammer. That's the word tupos. And in this case, the imprint was Adam the first. But we ask ourselves, who was the hammer? Who was he a type of? So we have Adam the first, and look in, let's just quickly look in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in verse 45. As I said at the outset, listen to me now. This is hard teaching, and it's even more difficult to understand. You have to see it with the eyes of your mind. It's one of those spiritual truths. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45, it says, so also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual was not first, but the natural, the psychikos, the soulish. Then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. And as is the earthy, so also are those who are earthy. And as is the heavenly, so also are those who are heavenly. Just as we have borne the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. Jesus Christ is the hammer. He's the anti-type. We have the type, the tupos, who is Adam the first. Adam the last is the hammer. He's the anti-type. Now look in 1 Corinthians 15. You're already there, but look in verse 22. Go back. For as in Adam all die. You say, I don't like that. I don't like being connected to Adam the first, because in him I die. In him I'm born physically alive, but spiritually dead. I need life. So in Adam the first, all die. But what does the second part of that verse say? Even so, where? In Christ shall all be made what? Alive. We need life. Where do we find the life? We find the life in the last Adam. When we identify to in the last Adam, we become alive. His life becomes our life. We need life. We don't need church. We don't need religion. We need life. We live among, as my son says, the walking dead. The human race born physically alive but spiritually separated from God because we're connected to our great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam. If we had a human father, then we're born physically alive and spiritually dead. That's what makes the virgin birth of Christ so important. Why was Jesus born of a virgin? Why was it important that he be born of a virgin? Because if he had not been, he would have come into the world physically alive and spiritually dead and in need of a Savior. He would have needed a Savior. But he came into the world a free-born man. He was physically alive and spiritually alive. Therefore, he could die for the human race. He could hang on that cross and die for us. He could die spiritually for us, and he did. So that those who are in Christ will be made alive. And those who are in Christ will be made alive. That's the guarantee of our resurrection. If we die in Adam and we're never born of God, then we'll die spiritually and be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But if we die in Christ, we're made alive. And one day we will live forever and ever and ever because we're connected to Adam the last, Jesus Christ. I pray you see this. One other passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, as those of us in the ministry preach the gospel and as you are given the responsibility to preach the gospel, you are to preach the gospel to everyone. You are to build relationships so you can share Jesus Christ with the lost world. But only God can give life. This is what Lazarus was all about. Only God can make the dead alive. We can't do that. We can just give them the facts, but God has to make it happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look in verse 14. It says, but the natural man, that's the psychikos man, that's the soulish man, notice, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he what? Know them. Because they are spiritually discerned. You can preach the gospel to a person born physically alive and spiritually dead until you're blue in the face and you can't make it happen. You can't give them life. They're connected to Adam the first, but you can't give them life. You can't make their dead human spirit alive. Only God can do that. Only God can give them the faith that they need to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. But that doesn't excuse us from making the gospel crystal clear. We have to make the good news clear to them. Yes, we're all dead in sin. Yes, we rebelled against God. Yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes. And yes, the wages of sin is death. Yes. And that's bad news. But the good news is precious. The good news is that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, so that he could die, and he went to the cross, and there he died to pay, not for his sin, he had none. He paid for our sin, all of it. And he offers to anyone who will, by faith, trust Jesus Christ as Savior, eternal life. I want to be connected to Jesus Christ. How can I be? Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior by faith, and God will give you life. Father, thank you for our time. Thank you for the teaching of your word. And it's always my prayer that it's clear and understandable to people. But Father, we recognize that the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. We live in a spiritual world, Father, where our thoughts are so very important. And Father, I pray that you would move the thoughts of those who may be dead in sin, that you might give them the understanding that Jesus Christ has paid their entire sin debt in full. And if they hear the voice of the shepherd to come to him and to trust him by faith, that they would do so, that they would heed his words as he calls them to himself to give them life. Father, it's my prayer that that would take place, that you would give life to the dead, that you would make them alive in Christ. May it be so, dear Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?